Amen. Oh, hi, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Edwin.
Hi, Edwin.
Well,
sounds like
a. Yeah, right? I have been saved for this many years. But if you could open your Bibles with me to Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. I'm going to be talking about something that most of you know, which is the fruits of the Spirit. But I'm going to be talking about three specifically. So Galatians 5, verse 22. Once you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Verse 22 says, "But the Holy Spirit produces these kinds of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." Now, I read NLT, that's why it may look a little different than anything else that you guys have read. But I titled my message for this Sunday, Fruits. I made a cool little slide for it. So, you're welcome. As I showed this to like some of my friends to proofread my design, everyone says like, "Oh, you have no pineapples in there?" Or, like, "You just did?" Or like, "Oh, what about mangoes for the culture?" I'm like, "All right." Everyone apparently has a favorite fruit. Yeah, and I apparently picked all the wrong ones. And so, there's no watermelon. I picked raspberries because Levi loves raspberries. Blueberries because they've been eating blueberries for forever. Kiwis because I like kiwis. Pears because my grandma gave me pears when I was little, and they were the sweetest things. And peaches because I don't know if you've ever seen those glass jar of peaches. Right, and then you eat those, and they're some of the sweetest peaches you will ever eat. So that's, and like all of those fruits have some type of childhood memory to me. And then when I explained that to all my friends, they all got quiet. They were like, "All right, whatever, dude, I get it. Sentimental fruits." But today we're talking about something that proves whether our faith is alive on the inside or just really loud on the outside. When I was trying to pray this week and praying these past couple weeks about, okay, God, what do you want me to speak about? I first was going with fasting, and then no. And then I was like, okay, God, maybe we can go with prayer. And he was like, no. And as I kept going in deeper and deeper, the Lord just said, fruits. And then at first I was super confused because I was just like, that's so random, fruits. What kind of fruit do you want me to speak about? And then I don't know why it came to me like a day later. Oh, fruits of the Spirit. So we're going about fruits of the Spirit. But Paul says in Galatians 5 that the fruits of the Spirit, at least the ones that I want to focus on, that are love, joy, and peace. Those are the three that I want to seriously just lock in on. These three fruits. Not the works of the Spirit, not the talents of the Spirit, and not the gifts of the Spirit. He says the fruits of the Spirit. Paul wants us to focus in on the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits is what naturally grows when something is healthy and connected. You don't walk up to an apple tree and yell, "Grow fruit." It just won't work. There are many variables that go into growing apples. Like, you need to water it. You need to nurture it. And you need the root to take in. But most importantly, for an apple to create fruit, it needs another apple tree, a female apple tree, so it can cross-pollinate and produce fruit. For the longest time, he's a worship pastor at Christ Chapel, Pastor Jeff, someone gifted him an apple tree. And for the first year of it, and we were like, me and him, we were just breaking our heads. Why is this thing not producing any apples? And then as we did more research, we were like, oh, it needs a female tree to be near it so it can cross-pollinate. If you don't know trees, I mean, I clearly don't. I didn't know that. So once we, and then we went out and bought another apple tree. They're expensive, by the way. And then we waited another year, and then it started producing fruit. And that's one of the things that the Lord showed me during when I was writing this message. The most important thing above nurturing, above watering it, and about letting it take root is it needs relationship. In order to produce fruit, you need relationship. Just like an apple tree, it needs relationship. We need relationship to the Father. We need connection to the Father in order to be able to produce fruit. How many Christians do you see out there that are proclaiming the truth, proclaiming Jesus, saying Jesus is a king and you need to come to the heaven or else you're going to hell? But everything they're spewing and the way that they're delivering the word, you see no fruit. I see countless of those people. There was one time when I was walking around New York, and I was walking, I was there for a conference. And Carrie was there for a conference as well. I was staying in a hotel in Times Square. Carrie was staying with a friend in Brooklyn, so she had to take the metro. I just walked, and the conference was in Madison Square Garden. So I just had to walk like 10 blocks to get back to my hotel. She had to take the train. Thank God we weren't dating at that time, because then I would have to take the train with her. Anyways, we were just friends. But as I was walking down the city of New York, and I was walking across a couple blocks, there were these guys that were just screaming and sharing the Bible, right? They were just quoting scripture. But every other sentence was, F this, for God so loved the effing world that he gave his only effing son to die for your effing this. And then I was just like, what is this dude doing? I mean, like, he got my attention. He did that. But the fruit of the Spirit was not there. There was no love. There was definitely no peace. And most importantly, there was no joy in the way he was delivering the scripture. You can tell that connection to the Father was completely not there. An apple tree produces fruits because it's alive on the inside. We will produce fruit if our relationship with Christ is alive. In the same way, spiritual fruit does not come from effort alone. It comes from a relationship with the Father. And the same is true spiritually. If you are rooted in Christ, something should be growing out of your life. It is not perfection, but fruit. So today I want you to focus on the first tree, on the first fruits of the Spirit, which is not just what they are, but how they grow. That's what I want you to focus on today. The fruits of the, not on what the fruits of the Spirit are, but on how they grow within you, which is love. Without love, joy becomes shallow. Without love, peace becomes fragile. Without love, faith becomes religion. That's why love is so important. Because without it, I'm going to repeat those three things again. Joy becomes shallow. Peace becomes fragile. Faith becomes religion. Romans 5:5 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That tells us something powerful. That's something that we as humans constantly struggle with, is that you don't create love, you carry it. We often think that we can create love, that we will love because, you know, you have an affection towards someone or something, but you don't create it, you carry it. It comes from the Father. We are able to give love because he loves us, and we accept that love. Love is not something you do. It's something God deposits within you. But here's the problem. A lot of believers want the fruit without the root. We want to love without being filled. We want patience without prayer, and we want kindness without surrender. Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't do any of those things. We can't love effectively apart from him. We can't care effectively apart from him. And you can't produce spiritual fruit in your own strength. And I know this for a fact. As I was getting older, well, as I was walking my faith, in my faith, and getting older in my faith, and I was a little pup. I'm going back and forth. Let me focus. As I was growing up in my faith, that's what I meant to say, I had a couple mentors that poured into me. Obviously, Pastor Jeff was one of them. Another one was a youth pastor. But as I kept developing and growing in my faith, I'm going to be very vulnerable here. Some people don't like that. If you start growing too much and the favor of the Lord starts displaying itself within you. So what ended up happening is one of these people that I saw as a mentor and as a brother didn't like it because the Lord called me to do something. And as he called me to do something, it was essentially stepping on his toes. And then he started spreading rumors about me and started saying negative things about me to try to destroy my character. Now, as a young believer, I don't know, or I didn't know, what forgiveness looked like. So my first reaction was to disown this person and then do everything within my power to burn everything to the ground for him. And I don't mean like destroy his career or anything like that. What I mean is like I just discontinued to be with him, and then I would complain about how he's treating me to other people and essentially not get have bitterness reside in my heart and not forgiveness. And as I kept continuing to grow in my faith, I understood that for not forgiving this individual was actually a detriment to me, was stopping me from loving effectively, was stopping me from producing fruit. So I forgave him. I called, we talked, and I said, hey, I forgive you. And then he's like, well, let's hang out. I was like, well, we don't need to do all that. I forgive you. That doesn't mean we're going to be friends. It just means that I forgive you. So what forgiveness looks like to me nowadays and what love looks like to me now is that every time that person's name comes along, I never say anything bad about him. I uplift his name and I say every good thing that him and I have experienced. Because the Lord showed me that in order to forgive someone and in order to love someone effectively, I need to be able to walk away and not stay bitter. I need to love like he loved me. I need to forgive like he forgave me. Because that's what true love is. True love is being able to forgive, to move forward, because he did that for us on that cross. Amen? So this person, every time someone brings him up now, I speak nothing but love about him. Speak nothing but blessings towards him. And I pray that if you have someone in your life that may have happened with, I pray that that's something that you work with the Lord, because you need to produce that fruit of love effectively. And unforgiveness is something that is going to hinder that. Love is what happens when you have God's heart beating in sync with yours. Love is what happens when you have God's heart beating in sync with yours. Love shows up when it's inconvenient. Love shows up when it's uncomfortable. Love shows up when it's undeserved. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies. Not because they are lovable, but because God is powerful. The next thing I want to talk about is joy. Joy is an interesting topic for me because, I mean, I shared my story about Joelle, how she brings me joy every day by changing her mind constantly. It happened again this morning. It happened with her hair. I want to be one of those dads that, like, knows how to do girls' hair. So I have, like, 3 Instagram pages that I follow that, like, teaches you how to do, like, girl dudes. So every now and then I'm just like, okay, Joel, stand still. And then I try to like do her braids or do pigtails and like braids and like try to just make her look cute. So this morning she was just not cooperating. I was like, Joel, we're just doing a simple pony, all right, but I'm gonna make it look really nice. She was like, okay, daddy. And we stand in front of the mirror. I literally bought a section of hair products for her. I'm really into this. Like, so I have like 2 styling creams, an anti-frizzy cream. I have like a little gel, and then I have like a little finishing spray that's like a little, it's cute. It's like all good for kids' hair so it doesn't damage it. I'm just really going into this. Carrie's is like, you spend $80 on just hair products for her. I'm like, yeah. I'm doing Levi's hair too now because it was like, might as well get practice with him. I was growing his hair out for a while, just got his hair cut. I was like, I can't punish my son with long hair for no reason. But this morning, as I was trying to do her simple ponytail, I finished it. Then she would be like, oh, she's like, daddy, I look beautiful. And then she grabs her hair and touches it and pulls it. I'm like, all right, restart, do it again. She did this 3 times. And then it got to the point where she Carrie and her and Levi were going to church. And Joelle is just rolling on the ground and her hair just gets all destroyed. And I was just like, you know what, honey? No hair, no ponytail. You can just set her into the world free with just her hair flowing everywhere. Spend 20 minutes trying to do a ponytail on a 3-year-old. And she ended up leaving with no ponytail. She brings me joy. And I have to say that constantly. She brings me joy. But joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is based on what's happening, on your circumstances. If things are good, you're happy. But if things fall apart, your happiness falls apart too. Joy is different. Joy is not rooted in circumstance. Joy is rooted in identity. Joy is based on who you belong to and not what you're going through. The reason why my kids, and just specifically Joelle in this season, is bringing me such joy is because I constantly tell them that their identity is children of God. Above everything else, above being my daughter or being my son, they are children of God. Something that we're starting to do is, as we're in the car, I will ask Levi, and I'm going to start with Joelle now, but I ask Levi, who are you? And at first he said, I'm a monkey, because that's what I would call him as well. He's like, I'm a little monkey. He's like, come here, my little monkey. And then he would be like, I'm Bubba, you know, because he's my little Bubba too. But now we got a little practice onto it. When I ask him, who are you? He will say, child of God. And that's what brings me joy. And that's what's going to bring them joy. Because their identity, their joy is based on their identity and who they belong to. Not in the circumstance or the thing that is happening at the moment. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." That means joy is not a decoration. It means joy is a fuel. Notice that it says, that it doesn't say joy is your mood. It doesn't say joy is your personality. It says joy is your strength in Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is what keeps you standing when life is trying to knock you down. Joy is what helps you keep praying when the answers are slow. Joy helps you to keep serving when people don't even say thank you. Joy is what helps you keep believing when the situation looks impossible. You don't need joy to feel good. You need joy to keep going. That's the biggest thing. We equate joy to feeling a certain way. But it's not. Joy is the fuel that keeps us going forward. Joy is the thing that allows us to get up in the morning when we don't want to. That's what joy is. I'm going to be super, again, I'm going to be so vulnerable in this message because I'm going to be sharing a lot of stories about myself and the things that literally made me cry at times. When it comes to this, there were moments when it comes to joy, there are moments when darkness will try to overcome your joy. One of those times that I can remember vividly is when we were doing a young adult ministry named Meta, and we started it off, you know, at a church, and then we got asked to vacate that church the week on Monday, and then we had a service on Thursday. It was hard. I got a phone call. My character got attacked on that phone call. And then, again, I was a younger Christian. I held nothing back. I said what I had to say. I was respectful in a way. I didn't say anything, any curse words. But I stood up for myself. Looking back at it, I don't regret anything I said because I was very respectful. But we hung up the phone. And as I hung up the phone, I cried. I drove to my older brother's, Pastor Jeff's house, and then I cried there for 2 hours with him. And then after I sat down and cried and prayed, I remembered, God, what am I going to do? This sucks. That was it. And then I called my friends who were part of my team. And then I was like, I need to tell them because we need to come up with something. So we met up, me and my friends who were in the leadership team, and we planned something out. We came up with a strategy for that week. It wasn't even permanent for that week. And we met my brother, Pastor Jeff. He said, oh, I know this person that lives in these apartments. You can use their clubhouse for free. So we used the clubhouse that week. But then the problem was, okay, now we need to contact everybody that we're going to have service here. And that's about like 50 people that we needed to contact. So we contacted 50 people, and then we told them somehow. They all came. We had a fantastic service that Thursday. And that service was going, I had to remember that the joy of the Lord, that's what keeps you going. And as that service happened, I will always remember this. We had Carrie playing guitar. We had one of her roommates who played the cello also playing there. And we had someone else playing the cajon. And the cello player came in a boot. She had like a hairline fracture on her foot. I don't know if you remember that, Brandon. Yeah? Yeah.
I remember
that. Yeah. So she came with a boot because she had a hairline fracture. And then the joy of the Lord came. The presence of the Lord came. And at the end of that service, she left without a boot. No pain. She got scanned. She's fine. And that reminded me is that at that moment, as I'm sharing this to you guys, is that the joy of the Lord, it's the fuel that keeps you going. That when you feel rejected, when you feel like there's nothing that you can do to get your win, the joy of the Lord is what fuels you and propels you to keep going. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is what keeps you going. Joy isn't a denial. Joy is your devotion to the Lord. James says, consider it pure joy when you face trials. Not because trials are good, but because God is doing something good in you. Joy will say to you, I still trust God, I still believe, and I still praise. That's what joy is. Now, the last fruit I want to talk about is peace for today. I'm sure I'll pick up the other ones the next time I'm speaking. But peace. Peace is power in pressure. Peace is not an absence of a problem. It's the presence of God. Think about that for a second. Peace is not an absence of a problem. It is the presence of God. The whole world can be collapsing right on top of you, but you have peace because the presence of God is there with you. A lot of people think peace comes from quiet, but biblically, peace shows up when life gets loud. Jesus said, peace I live with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. That shows us that the peace that he's giving us is completely different than what the world thinks peace is. The world assumes the peace is going into your room, sitting down, laying down, and watching a TV show, and no one talking to you for an hour. As a parent, yeah, that's worldly peace, and I love it. Carrie and I take turns. But that's not the peace that the Lord gives us. The peace that the Lord gives us is the peace that when Levi is crying and Joel is throwing a tantrum, and peace is that. Me not losing my mind. Peace is the moment before the moment where I'm not yelling, please everyone shut up. If I'm not doing that, that's peace. That's peace. Peace is not based on control. If everything lines up, you feel calm. If something goes wrong, you fall apart. That is what the world tells you peace is. If you are in control, everything is calm. That's what peace is. But Jesus says, my peace. That means his peace doesn't come from circumstances. It comes from connection. Peace is not found in control. Peace is found in Christ. Isn't that funny? The peace is not found in control. It is found in Christ. So the more you let go, the more peace you have. The more you surrender, the more peace you have. The more you give up, the more peace you have. It's crazy. so counterintuitive. It's like those Chinese finger traps. You have to push in order to come out. I got stuck on those when I was little, and I had no idea how to get out, and I had panicked, and Google wasn't a thing back then, and my parents didn't know, so, you know, and if you cut them, you're stuck there. So we had to go to the doctor one day. We had to go to the hospital in an emergency because my parents are, you know, no one knows how to get Chinese finger straps on the, now we do, Google, or YouTube videos. And then the doctor was just like, I remember this face to this day. He's like, he looked at my parents like, are you dumb? And then he just like pushed it in and he was like, take your fingers out. I'm like, okay. The more you surrender, the more peace you have. That's how it works in the kingdom. The more you give of yourself, that stronger, the longer your fuse is. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice the order. It says pray instead of panicked. It says thanks instead of worrying. And it says trust instead of control. Right there is the guideline on how to find peace. I'm sure there's someone out there that will pay you thousands of dollars to help you, for you to help them find inner peace. These are the three things you have to give them. Peace is what happens when you replace anxiety with surrender. What does that look like? Well, for me right now, I'm walking in peace. It's really hard. Let me rephrase that. It's very important in this season that I walk in peace. As I look at the news, as I look at everything that's happening around the country, it's very important that I walk in peace. Because if I let the enemy have a foothold on my anxiety or anything like that, I don't have anxiety, in Jesus' name. But if I let the enemy think that he has a foothold in my heart to remove my peace, then he will. This season is really hard. Maybe extremely vulnerable again, where Carrie and I have legitimately talked about what it would look like to move to the UK. Because based on what I look like, something bad could happen, unfortunately. But I am walking in peace because I know the more I surrender to him, the more he will take care of me. Because peace is what happens when you replace anxiety with full surrender. So I am walking in peace in this season. I will not let the enemy take away my peace. And I pray that same thing for you guys. Whatever it may be, peace be upon you. So in closing, church, love, joy, and peace are not personality traits. They are spiritual fruits. And fruits don't grow by striving, they grow by abiding. Jesus said, remain in me and I in you. If you need more love, get closer to Jesus. If you need more joy, stand in his presence. If you need more peace, put your trust in his hands. Let love flow, let joy rise, let peace reign. Amen? Amen. I want to close this by asking you a question. If you feel like you would want these specifically three fruits right now, just show your hands. Great. I'm going to pray that over you right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for your fruits, for your love, for your peace, and for your joy. And God, I pray that as we go through this week and we go through this life, I pray that we fully surrender, that we fully go closer to you so that we can experience the love of God, that we stay in your presence so we can continue to experience joy, and that we put our trust in your hands so that we can have peace constant. I pray that you release us and that you give us the opportunities to exercise these fruits. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you guys for allowing me to speak.